This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Panic over political turmoil in Italy eases as Italian stocks and bonds rebound.
President Trump moves ahead with planned tariffs on Chinese imports.
The EU braces for impending levies on steel and aluminum.
Justin Trudeau warns that no deal is better than a bad deal on NAFTA.
President Trump rallied supporters in Tennessee ahead of the midterm elections. Plus, prosecutors in the Michael Cohen case will get seized phone data today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees with a thrilling win over the Astros. They tied Houston in the ninth inning, won it in the tenth. The Mets lost in the bottom of the ninth in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Panic over political turmoil in Italy appears to be easing. Italian bonds are rebounding along with U.S. futures and European equities. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points. This morning, Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 15. The DAX in Germany's up 0.25%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. FTSE 100 is up about 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 18 32nds, yield 2.84%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.38%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 14 cents to 66.87 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.1% on a dollar to 13.03.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1606, and the yen, 108.63. Bob.
We begin in Italy, where panic over political turmoil is easing. Italian bonds are rebounding after yesterday's unprecedented sell-off. Raffaella Tenconi is founder and chief economist of ADA Economics.
I think the risk of Italy leaving the euro has been blown out of proportion. This is not about euro membership. This is about the industrial policy, I would say, of Italy and within the EU.
The country appears headed towards snap elections as early as July. That's after the latest attempt to form a government saw Premier-designate Carlo Cottarelli leave a meeting with the president without an agreement on a cabinet team. Grant Samuel Funds Management Advisor Stephen Miller says uncertainty could see the euro weaken in the coming weeks.
You know, all this sort of very messy cocktail coming together in Europe, particularly if it remains unresolved for a time, could well send, you know, euro back down to that 105 level, and it doesn't take much to tip it from there back toward parity.
The euro is currently trading at $1.1610. A debt auction this morning could be a key test of investor appetite for Italian notes. The country's debt office is offering $7 billion of securities, and we should get results from that sale about 30 minutes from now.
Meanwhile, that turmoil out of Italy is denting investor confidence in how aggressive the Federal Reserve will be on tightening policy this year. Activity in options on euro-dollar futures shows traders starting to unwind bets that the Fed will hike 4 times in 2018.
On the trade front, President Trump is moving ahead with plans to impose tariffs on $50 billion of Chinese imports. The White House says a final list of targeted imports will be released by June 15th, and the tariffs will be imposed shortly thereafter. Amy Sellico leads the China team at Albright Stonebridge Group and is a former U.S. trade representative.
I read it as the U.S. administration trying to gather up as much leverage as possible going into this Saturday's set of talks. Of course, Secretary Ross is on his way over to Beijing this weekend. His team is already here in Beijing. The U.S. wants to move forward. It wants to put in place tariffs. It wants to put in place investment restrictions, as well as export controls that are going to punish China for bad behavior and protect our own economy.
The U.S. is also imposing limits on some visas for Chinese citizens. A State Department official tells Bloomberg the White House will set restrictions on Chinese visa applications to help protect American intellectual property. The measures would shorten the amount of time that some Chinese citizens could stay in the United States.
Meanwhile, the European Union is bracing for U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum that go into effect in just 2 days. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live in London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yeah, this is the clearest indication yet that the EU is expecting tariffs to hit. They had been hoping for a permanent, unconditional waiver, but now the Trade Commissioner in Brussels, Cecilia Malmström, saying that even if there are no duties, she does expect some sort of cap on EU exports. The question now is whether that's a hard cap and there are limits to the volumes of exports, or a soft one where more exports are possible, but duties apply after a certain level. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. When it comes to trade in North America, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says no deal on NAFTA would be better than a bad deal. Trudeau spoke with Bloomberg in Toronto.
I will stand up for Canadian interests. I will only sign a deal that is good for Canada. And no NAFTA is better than a bad deal, and we've made that very clear with the president.
In his interview with Bloomberg, Trudeau also downplayed the impact of NAFTA that a NAFTA collapse would have. His remarks could come, his remarks come ahead of a G7 summit hosted by Canada next week.
Shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are down 1% after the bank's chief financial officer unexpectedly resigned. Ewan Stevenson, who had been at the bank for about 4 years, had been seen as a candidate to potentially replace CEO Ross McEwan. RBS says the search for his successor will commence immediately.
Martin Sorrell is getting back into the ad business. The former WPP CEO is taking control of a publicly traded company just 6 weeks after his abrupt exit from the world's biggest advertising company. S4 Capital, a vehicle largely funded by Sorrell, will be acquired by investment firm Derriston Capital. The reverse takeover will leave Sorrell as chairman of Derriston, which will change its name to S4 and seek to make acquisitions.
Here in the U.S., Wall Street's long campaign to chip away at the Volcker Rule is finally paying off. The Federal Reserve Board meets today to start rolling back the toughest trade restriction imposed on banks after financial crisis. People familiar with the matter tell Bloomberg that regulators are expected to propose a revamp that would give banks more leeway to presume their trades comply with the rule instead of having to prove that trades are permissible. Futures this morning are moving higher, with S&P futures up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 90, NASDAQ futures up 18. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Trump takes on the Democrats. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump has accused House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi of being, quote, an MS-13 lover. Trump traveled to Nashville, Tennessee yesterday to promote the Senate candidacy of Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, whose race is among those crucial to holding a Republican majority. Blackburn is running to replace retiring GOP Senator Bob Corker in a race that has drawn a strong Democratic challenge from former Tennessee Governor Phil Bredesen.
So Marsha's very liberal Democrat opponent, Phil Bredesen. I never heard of this guy. Who is he? Who is he? He's an absolute, total tool of Chuck Schumer.
Trump did not mention the sudden cancellation of the ABC show Roseanne after its star Roseanne Barr, who supports Trump, published a racist tweet about former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett as a product of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Planet of the Apes. Jarrett addressed Barr's tweet on MSNBC.
I think we have to turn it into a teaching moment. I'm fine. I'm worried about all the people out there who don't have a circle of friends and followers who come right to their defense. The person who's walking down the street minding their own business and they see somebody cling to their purse or walk across the street.
Barr's post-firing tweets included an apology to those who lost their jobs because of her words. A retired judge appointed to review documents seized by the FBI from President Trump's lawyer Michael Cohen said she plans today to turn over about 1 million items taken from 3 phones to federal prosecutors who can now review them as part of their criminal investigation. French President Emmanuel Macron helped to broker a Libyan consensus on elections at the end of the year. Bloomberg's Gregory Fascuzzi has more from Paris.
Emmanuel Macron likes to be involved in every international issue, but so far has had little to show for his efforts. Tuesday, though, he brought together the two warring sides of Libya and got Prime Minister Sarraj and Benghazi strongman Haftar to agree in a process leading to elections in December to unify the North African country. Previous Libyan agreements have gone unfulfilled, but this is the most detailed roadmap yet out of the country's crisis. In Paris, Gregor Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time here, Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Steshauer.
Good morning, Bob. A tale of two walk-offs. And for the Mets, it's also a case of deja vu. They lost Monday in Atlanta on a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning last night.
Here's Camargo. First pitch, line deep to right. Down the line, hooking towards the wall. And it is gone. A home run just over the 16-foot-high wall in right field. And the Braves win the ball game 7-6. For the second straight day, they have hit a walk-off homer against the Mets. This time it is Johan Camargo who chucks the helmet, pounces on home plate. His teammates start pounding him, and this one hurts.
Yeah, WOR the call. It hurts because the Mets had a 6-2 lead in the seventh inning thanks to two home runs by Asdrubal Cabrera, one for Adrian Gonzalez. But the bullpen called on back in the fourth due to a Steven Matz finger injury imploded at the end. Mets have lost 5 of 6, 7 of the last 9. Sit in fourth place. Another loss tonight drops them under 500. Yankees, meanwhile, walked off on the Astros. 6-5, 10 innings. Yanks trailed 5-3. But as they did in the series in Houston, they got to the Astros bullpen. Brett Gardner, who led off the game with a home run, hit a game-tying two-run shot in the ninth. And then the rookie infielders teamed up for the win in the 10th. Miguel Andujar doubled, scored on a Gleyber Torres hit. Yanks remained 2 games behind the Red Sox. Just getting started at the French Open. Top 2 women seeds, Simona Halep, Caroline Wozniacki, play today in Paris, where yesterday Serena Williams won her first Grand Slam match as a mother. Wide receiver Brandon Marshall signed with Seattle. His last 2 stops were with the Jets and Giants. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Steshauer. Bob?
John, thank you. In other sports news, a 1930s-era basketball jersey worn by Hall of Fame coach John Wooden when he played at Purdue has been bought by former Boilermaker and current Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Brees says he paid $264,000 so Purdue could display it at Mackey Arena in West Lafayette, Indiana. Wooden was an All-Big Ten player at Purdue between 1930 and 1932 before winning 10 titles as coach of the UCLA Bruins. You might have heard of them. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, first and only global news network built for Twitter. It's 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. Follow us at TikTok, DICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Panic over political turmoil in Italy appears to be easing. Italian bonds are rebounding along with U.S. futures and European equities. Meanwhile, in Asia, stocks fell below a key technical support level in today's session, with the renewal of U.S.-China trade tensions sapping investor sentiment. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from our Singapore bureau.
Karen, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index dropped below its 200-day moving average for the first time in almost 2 years. Financial stocks led the region lower on concerns over exposure to Italian debt. Stocks in Shanghai set for their worst run of losses since 2013, just 2 days before joining MSCI's global benchmarks. Stocks in Malaysia had their biggest drop intraday since 2008. In Tokyo, the TOPIX notched up an 8th session of losses, its longest losing streak since July 2012. In Hong Kong, Tencent fell below 400 Hong Kong dollars a share as this tech stock starts to lose its allure to mainland buyers. They've dumped around $81 million worth of the stock over the past fortnight. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. And right now, S&P futures are up 7.5 points, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures up 14, the DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32nds, yield 2.83%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 17 cents to $66.90 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 90 cents at $13.03.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1603. The yen, 108.60. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A North Korean official is set to arrive in New York for a meeting with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo of what the White House calls an expected summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Russia says Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov will travel to North Korea for talks tomorrow. The foreign ministry said in a statement today that Lavrov would hold talks with North Korea's foreign policy chief to discuss bilateral issues as well as the overall situation on the Korean Peninsula. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the A's and Giants, the Nationals beat the Orioles, the Red Sox were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street, and there's a litmus test on Italy this morning. A debt auction being held in the next few minutes will be watched closely as a key gauge of investor appetite. In the meantime, Italian bonds have been rebounding after yesterday's unprecedented sell-off. We're joined now by Michael Hewson, market analyst for CMC Markets. Michael, good morning and welcome. Are we out of the thick Italian woods yet or not?
I think not. I mean, I think the key question that investors need to ask themselves is the timing of the next Italian election, because I don't think there's any way out of the current impasse other than an Italian election. And really, I think the question is whether it comes at the end of July or whether it comes later in the year towards the fall, maybe in September. But I think it's also important to assign a sense of perspective. Yes, we did see a very, very big jump in yields yesterday. A large part of that, I think, was down to complacency on the part of investors about the events, political events in Italy. And I think at the moment what we're seeing is a little bit of a wait-and-see approach being adopted as markets mull the next developments in Italy.
I saw one strategist quoted as saying the overnight news flow was less bad. Given that, is there a fairly good chance that we get through these auctions smoothly?
I think there's a fairly decent chance of that, because I think if there is going to be any sort of train wreck, for want of a better word, it's going to be further down the line, quite a lot further down the line. And also, I think if you look at the borrowing costs for Italy, the two-year yields at 2%, the 10-year is at 3%. If we go back 10 years, these borrowing costs are still well below the averages that Italy experienced in the run-up to the financial crisis, where both were at 4%. So I think it's very easy to get caught up in the hyperbole of yesterday's move. And I think now that we've had the shakeout, I think investors are going to take a slightly longer view with respect to where we go to next. Now, that could prompt a little bit of a rebound in Italian bonds, and it could prompt a little bit of a rebound in Italian assets. But I still think the uncertainty is likely to remain quite high over the course of the next few weeks.
You say very easy to get caught up in this. Perhaps too easy? Did we learn nothing from the financial crisis? I mean, yesterday we saw liquidity in one of the world's largest bond markets thin to the point of dealers refusing to give prices for some of the country's securities.
Well, I think this is also a symptom of quantitative easing, Bob, because ultimately if one of your biggest bondholders is the European Central Bank, then ultimately you're going to find very few buyers if, for instance, you want to get out of your Italian holdings. And I note that the bid-to-cover ratio on these auctions are actually fairly decent, 1.48, 1.53 on the 2 years. So, again, you know, the bid-to-covers at the moment with the average yields are still fairly decent.
So is that how things are different now than they were in the run-up to the financial crisis? There are different players?
Different players, fewer players. I think increased regulation has affected markets in that regard. We heard an awful lot of discussion earlier this year about lower liquidity in equity markets as a result, I think, of some of the regulatory changes that we've seen since 2010. And I think that's just as true for European bond markets. The large-scale quantitative easing programs from the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, even the Federal Reserve, I think it's making it that much more difficult to get a proper market, get proper price discovery, if you like, when you're looking to set valuations on particular assets. And at the moment, I think what we've seen is a little bit of redenomination risk creep into Italian assets over concerns that a new populist government could actually prompt an exit from the euro. Now, I don't think we're anywhere near that yet. That's not to say it won't be a topic for discussion in the coming weeks and months.
Less than a half minute left here. If investors are taking a step back, when's the next big event?
Well, I think the next big event will be when Mr. Cotarelli decides whether or not he can actually form a government. I think that is unlikely. And then really it's a question of when is the next election? Is it the end of July, as some people have been speculating, or are we going to have to put up with this uncertainty into September?
Okay. Michael Hewson is market analyst for CMC Markets. Thank you very much for your insights this morning. S&P futures this morning up 8 points. That is 0.3%. The 10-year yield at 2.8405%. The euro trading at $1.1602. The pound at $1.3263. The yen at 108.66. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Congress has passed the most sweeping tax law changes since 1986. Is your company ready? Check out the latest analysis and news from Eisner Amper at eisneramper.com/tax change.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing some stabilization in the markets this morning. Stocks and bonds in Italy are rising, while U.S. stock futures are higher after the Dow's nearly 400-point decline yesterday.
Meanwhile, Italy appears headed towards snap elections as early as July after Premier-designate Carlo Cottarelli's latest attempt to form a government shows little progress. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello reports from Rome.
Cottarelli was expected to present his list of proposed cabinet ministers during a meeting with President Sergio Mattarella, but Cottarelli left the presidential palace without making any announcements. The political turmoil in Italy is severely disrupting financial markets, which may be starting to have concerns about Italy's commitment to the euro common currency. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Kevin. We're getting details now on those bond auctions out of Italy we told you about earlier. When it comes to 10-year notes, the bid-to-cover ratio was 1.48. That is the strongest demand since December, and those 10-year bonds garnered an average yield of 3%.
In other news, President Trump said he's moving ahead with plans to impose tariffs on $50 billion of Chinese imports and curb investment in sensitive technology. That move comes ahead of the next round of trade talks later this week.
Shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are down almost 1%. Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson, who was seen as a potential CEO at RBS, unexpectedly resigned to pursue another opportunity.
Martin Sorrell's returning to the London Stock Exchange just 6 weeks after his ouster as CEO of WPP, a firm largely funded by Sorrell S4 Capital, will be acquired by Derriston Capital. Sorrell will head the company.
In Germany, unemployment fell to a fresh record low. The jobless rate dropped to 5.2% in May.
In Sweden, the economy grew 0.7%. It's the 19th consecutive quarter of growth, marking the longest expansion since at least 1980.
Here in the U.S., the government issues revised data today on first quarter GDP. Economists forecast a 2.3% growth rate, the same as the prior report.
And the Federal Reserve Board meets today to start rolling back the Volcker Rule. Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures are up about 8 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures up about 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32. Yield 2.83%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil higher up 0.4%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Things get political for the president. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump campaigned on behalf of Republican Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn in Nashville, Tennessee last night. Trump attacked her opponent, Phil Bredesen, and said if he wins the Senate race, he would do the bidding of Democratic congressional leaders.
He's a tool of Chuck Schumer and, of course, the MS-13 lover, Nancy Pelosi.
Trump also told the crowd, you won't have a Second Amendment if the Democrats take over. U.S. prosecutors in Manhattan will get a vast array of data seized from three phones belonging to President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, today. That's according to a filing from a retired judge reviewing materials taken by the FBI. The Trump administration plans to shorten the length of validity for some visas issued to Chinese citizens. Ed Baxter has more from the Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
This is part of the Trump effort to counter the alleged theft of U.S. intellectual property. The State Department did not provide any specifics, but Associated Press is reporting, citing instructions sent to U.S. embassies and consulates, that Chinese graduate students will be limited to one-year visas if they are studying in fields like robotics, aviation, and high-tech manufacturing. China identifies those priority areas as its Made in China 2025 manufacturing campaign. The changes are scheduled to take place June 11th. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
More destruction in the Aloha State. Hawaii County Civil Defense Administrator Talmadge Magno talked about the lava flow from the Kilauea volcano on Hawaii's Big Island.
Hawaii County Fire, Police Department, Public Works, National Guard, Civil Defense were all out there going door to door, getting folks out.
Magno says Kilauea has destroyed 71 homes. Gaza's Hamas rulers say they have agreed to a ceasefire with Israel to end the largest flare-up of violence between the sides since the 2014 war. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much appreciated, Michael. It is now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, and good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. After being shut down by Justin Verlander Monday, the Yankees had to face the Astros' Charlie Morton last night. He's 7-0. He struck out 10 Yanks in six innings. He left with his team ahead 5-3. But in the bottom of the ninth.
Now here's the 0-1. Swung on, hit high in the air to deep right. Back goes Springer on the track. He's at the wall, leaps, and it is gone! It's a game-tying two-run home run for Brett Gardner. Gardy goes yardy. Let the Gardy party begin. A two-run home run in the right field seats. And the Yankees get off the deck and tie the game at five.
WFAN, the call. Gardner had only homered twice all season. He also led off the game with a homer at four hits. Yanks scored 10th inning on a Gleyber Torres hit. They beat the Astros 6-5. Five scoreless innings for the bullpen. Red Sox won. They remain two games ahead. Mets blew a 6-2 lead. Atlanta won 7-6 on a walk-off home run. Bottom of the ninth by Johan Camargo. Two home runs in the loss for Asdrubal Cabrera. Noah Syndergaard put on the disabled list with a finger injury. Only expected to miss one start. Now Steven Matz has a finger injury. He had to leave last night after only three innings. Stanley Cup Final Game 2 tonight. Washington at Vegas, who's up 1-0. NBA Finals begin Thursday in Oakland. Cavs, Warriors, Act 4. Golden State's been made a prohibitive favorite. Cleveland may not have Kevin Love for the opener. Remains in concussion protocol. American Sam Querrey takes the court this morning at the French Open. Rafael Nadal, the 10-time champion, won his first round match yesterday. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thank you very much. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street. And it is time to check in on what the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is reporting. It's on newsstands now with the cover on the little-known Chinese company that saved Volvo. Also in this week's issue, the small-time banker making millions with mortgages for the poor. Prasant Gopal wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
He grew up homeless, and he now is making his way up. He works with a lot of the people who remind him of his past. You know, people with low incomes sometimes and bad credit.
You can read more on this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week, Know What Matters and Why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report. And let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Well, Bob, Singapore Airlines will restart nonstop service to Newark October 11th. The carrier will use Airbus's SEA-350-900 ultra-long-range aircraft for what will be the world's longest flight, nearly 19 hours from Singapore to Newark Liberty International. Well, last month, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo called for a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags by next year. Could New Jersey be next? NJ Spotlight says Assemblyman John McKeon, an environmental advocate from Essex County, introduced a bill last week proposing a ban to phase out non-combustible plastic carry-out bags. Connecticut will spend $15 million to renovate the state pier in New London. wants to capitalize on the expansion of the offshore wind industry. Funding is subject to approval by the State Bond Commission June 1st. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thanks very much. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. We turn to our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. A staggering number of homeowners remain underwater on their mortgages a decade after the financial crisis.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Rolls-Royce expects a sharp increase in the number of Boeing 787s that will have to be grounded because of faults with the turbines.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the surprise resignation of Royal Bank of Scotland's CFO.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, we're looking at whether Justice Department approval of the Monsanto merger really is the last word in the U.S.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting automaker shares fell yesterday after Nissan said it would cut vehicle output in the U.S. and Mexico.
Thank you all. Those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. Let's recap now that Italian bond auction. It sailed through, bringing a respite after yesterday's rout. Italy successfully sold 5- and 10-year debt at a closely watched auction, helping reassure jittery markets after this week's meltdown in the nation's bonds amid a political crisis. The debt office sold 1.82 billion euros worth of 10-year bonds. The bid-to-cover ratio, a barometer of market demand, was 1.48 times the amount offered. That is the highest since December. S&P futures up by 6 points. That is almost 0.25%. A 10-year yield at 2.8332%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Withum. Looking for ways to modernize your business? Join Microsoft and Withum June 13th for a free event at the Microsoft Technology Center in Times Square. Spots are limited. Sign up at digital.withum.com/transform.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global markets are regaining some composure today as panic over the Italian political crisis subsides. A 10-year bond auction from Italy this morning is also helping to reassure markets. The offering's bid-to-cover ratio, a barometer of market demand, was 1.48 times the amount offered. That's the highest level since December. Here in the U.S., the government issues revised data on first-quarter GDP at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a 2.3% growth rate, the same as the prior report. And we get more on that from Bloomberg's Vinnie Deljudice.
Bloomberg Economics says the primary focus of today's GDP report will probably be corporate profits, which declined in the fourth quarter. While a first quarter increase is anticipated, a steady decline in profits often heralds a recession. We're probably not there yet. Keep an eye on the yield curve. Also today, look for ADP data on private payrolls. Vinnie Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thank you. S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures up 97. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 19/32nds. Yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year 2.39%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 20 cents to $66.93 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down a dollar to $13.03.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1607. The yen, 108.68. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, officials in the U.S. and in North Korea aren't saying that the Singapore summit is back on for June 12th, but both sides are preparing as if it's a go. The two nations are engaging in their most substantive talks yet about the meeting. President Trump confirmed that a top North Korean official is heading to New York for talks with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Missouri Republican Governor Eric Greitens resigned amid a widening investigation that arose from an affair with his former hairdresser. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the A's and Giants. The Nationals beat the Orioles. The Red Sox were winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, my friend. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street. That is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jen, good morning. De Beers is betting the cheap diamonds are just that.
Yes. So De Beers is facing a very difficult situation, namely the threat that a once prized rarity might turn into a cheap commodity. The origin of this threat is the rising sophistication of lab grown diamonds. And it's something that the global industry really needs to be on top of.
Yeah. How do you feel about it, though, really, Jen? What does Leonardo DiCaprio have to do with this?
Well, it's not easy making diamonds of gem quality in a lab. So the producers that really can do it generally market themselves as really a direct and maybe even a superior substitute to the stuff that's naturally mined. So one such company is called Diamond Foundry, and it's actually has an endorsement and investment from Leonardo DiCaprio. And so if you look at the way the company markets and positions itself, it seems very much like a De Beers brochure.
So what's De Beers' strategy then?
So it's introduced something called Lightbox, and these are synthetic gems that it's pricing as low as $800 a carat. And that is fighting words because it's an 81% discount to the price of natural gems, and that's compared to the 32% discounts that existing synthetic gems are fetching. It might seem kind of like a Davy and Goliath story, considering that synthetic gems account for 99% of global supply. But for a company that was able to convince us all that diamonds are the symbol of eternal love, you know, you wouldn't rule them out.
Okay, David Fick wrote our column on this, but what does Jennifer Ryan think about synthetic diamonds? That's what I want to know.
Well, we'll just have to see. I've never had a look at one under a microscope, but if you provide me with one and an industrial strength microscope, I will let you know.
Okay. Lena Brzezinski is out with a story. A U.S. should move Germany forces to Poland. What's the appealing proposition that the Polish Defense Ministry has made?
Poland is willing to spend as much as $2 billion to entice the U.S. to build a permanent military base there. And so this kind of makes sense for the U.S. to at least consider moving some of its forces from Germany to Poland. The main thing here is that the theoretical front line in a conflict between Russia and NATO no longer runs through Germany. Really, what you really want to look at are the Baltic states and Poland.
Yeah, would Russia have anything to gain by invading the Baltic states or Poland?
Well, no. And then you sort of wonder, you know, what's the deal here? But really, nor does the U.S. have anything to lose by accepting Poland's proposal, because this kind of a move would be consistent with its goals of deterring Russia, and it would also allow it to support an ally eager for closer military ties.
You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing OPIN Go. And our thanks once again to Jennifer Ryan.
It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Republican Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana has floated a series of ideas for lowering health costs, including requiring price transparency for elective medical procedures. An update to a decades-old stored email privacy law faces an uncertain future in the Senate after the House passed it as part of a defense authorization bill. And the Education Department's partial discharge program for student loans was halted by a federal magistrate as she determines whether defrauded Corinthian College students should receive partial or complete forgiveness of debt.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Bayer's $66 billion acquisition of Monsanto has gained U.S. regulatory approval, paving the way for the formation of the world's largest seed and agricultural chemicals provider. We get more from Bloomberg's Jim Grosso and Peter Barnes. They speak with Jennifer Ree, senior litigation analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence.
Jen, what did Bayer have to give up to win approval from the U.S. Justice Department?
Well, they had to give up a lot. I mean, in this case, they're selling $9 billion worth of assets to BASF. All of it's going to BASF, which is really pretty huge in terms of a divestiture package to get a deal through. I mean, maybe compared to $66 billion, which is what we see the deal is valued at, it doesn't seem so. But it really is very, very big. And this is EU and U.S. because a lot of the same assets were required to be sold by both jurisdictions with, I think, a few differences at the fringes, but a few added on by the U.S. But this is really, you know, a very large package, including lots of seeds, lots of traits, lots of R&D, as well as crop protection.
So, Jen, There have been several deals, as we've talked about, involving seed and crop chemical firms globally. This deal will leave three mega companies, and farmers are concerned about higher prices and less choice. Does it seem as if they have a point? Certainly with the less choice, they're cutting it down.
Well, you know, I think so. But the reason for these divestitures, and part of the reason this is such a huge package, all going to one entity, BASF, is that the idea is that that remedy is meant to remedy the harm that could occur. And so at the end of the day, you don't really have three big integrated agricultural entities left. You really have four, because what you're doing is you're turning BASF into an entity that's very similar to Dow DuPont, to ChemChina Syngenta, and now to Bayer Monsanto. They were very active on the chemical side and the crop protection side. It didn't have seeds, but they're now buying a very, very large package of seeds as well as R&D from Bayer to put them in place to compete with the other three entities. And that's the purpose of a remedy.
Now, so does the merger of Bayer and Monsanto make sense now with all the things it's had to do to satisfy regulators? Will the synergies and the competitive advantages still be there?
I think so. You know, even though they're selling a lot of Bayer's seeds, you know, they are still getting this combination of Bayer's chemicals with Monsanto seeds, which is really what they wanted. Monsanto having the bigger heritage in the seeds and Bayer having the bigger heritage on the chemical side.
As Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Litigation Analyst Jennifer Reese speaking with June Grosso and Peter Barnes, you can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Bob.
And it is now 5:56 on Wall Street time for your Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman with a focus on healthcare.
Large cap healthcare has kind of gone sideways this year thus far, but small cap healthcare has been an outperformer. Tom Sarafagas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here with me now. And there's an ETF that tracks these stocks.
So there's one by Invesco that tracks the small cap spectrum of healthcare. So the ticker is PSCH, and it's the PowerShares S&P 600 healthcare ETF. It's pretty big. It's got about $600 million in assets. But what's really standing out is the performance. So naturally, everyone just gravitates towards large caps. That's pretty flat in the year, and so is biotech. But small cap healthcare is up about 25% this year.
And what accounts for that divergence in performance?
So one thing is just small caps in general have been doing a lot better this year. And also with healthcare, these smaller names tend to be really attractive M&A targets for some of these bigger firms. So a lot of these names move pretty significantly when there's ever like an M&A announcement.
Right, because there's speculation that there could be potentially more typically. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. With the Bloomberg ETF Report, I'm Julie Hyman.
Julie, thank you. S&P futures are up 11 points this morning. Dow futures up 114. NASDAQ futures up 22. The 10-year Treasury down 22.32. The yield 2.86%. And the yield on the 2-year 2.40%. The euro this morning $1.16.16. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.